Present at today's meeting, Council President Bullock, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Powers, Councilman Taggart, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Diller, my trustee, Mrs. Sharnice Jackson. What's your pleasure on the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All's in favor?
Aye.
Minutes approved as presented. The first item on the agenda is 15-094, amend the grants budget. Appropriate $50,570 from the United States Department of Justice to the asset forfeiture federal grant, which is administered by the Department of Public Safety to assist in the purchase of police K-9 supplies and equipment for the Division of Police. Any questions, concerns, part of council members, from council members? Any comments from the department? I'd like to recognize the presence of Co-Chairman Bell, Councilman Sheldon. Hearing no questions, no concerns, I move on to item number four, which is 15-095, amend the grants budget, appropriate federal funding of $183,325 to the JAG, which is a Justice Assistance Grant 2015, data and evidence-based police and methods to reduce gun violence grant for the Newcastle County Department of Public Safety. Any questions, concerns, comments from council? Any comments from the department? Moving on, item 515-100, amend the grants budget, appropriate state funding of $216,712.85 to the fiscal year 2016 fund to combat violent crime grant for the Department of Public Safety, sponsored by myself and Co-Chairman Bell. This will not be voted on until the 27th of October. Any questions, concerns, comments from council? Councilman Cartier.
I think it's great that we're getting federal funding and state funding to combat violent crime. And I guess just as a general informational purpose, how are these funds going to be used to take care of combat violent crime? What's the approach to the Department of Safety?
Colonel Setting, County Police. Sir, that's our TAPS money. That's okay. The money that we use to allocate pay jobs into the areas right. That are indicative of problems based on the programs that we run, as well as some of our training and some of the equipment used by those same officers. I don't know if that helps, but you're pretty familiar with TAPS, so.
Question answered.
Thank you.
I'd like to recognize the presence of Councilman Retta. Did I miss anybody else?
Question.
Yes, Councilman.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the department. They just had a lockup of a father and son down off of 273, and it was well deserved because they had a good program going. They had bicycles and everything that they were using, and they also found guns on the, I believe it was two or four guns, I'm not sure, but I'd like to thank the department for their due diligence on that, because what happened, we were getting phone calls from the constituents, and I know when the community police were down there too, they were getting questions on it. But you know, we had to calm them down, the citizens, and let them know that there's stuff in the works. Thank you, sir.
Co-Chairman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to make comment, because, and I know the chairman has made comment before on it, and I and other council members, but I think it's important that we keep mentioning the fact that we have an excellent grant writer and assistants that work with the grant writer in our police department. And we all have heard the name before. We know the name Laurie Kane. Laurie Kane does an absolutely tremendous job. Whether it's with the COPS program that we've just benefited again from, or these various grants. And, you know, I don't care what anybody else does in this county as far as grants. They're all important. I hear different things about, you know, we don't get our fair share of, you know, a grant, that we've hired somebody to do a grant. Quite frankly, when I look at what our public safety department's doing in grant writing and the amount of money that comes into this county, you know, and the cost to provide law enforcement services today, they just do an absolutely phenomenal job. And, you know, I think it, you don't like to single out an individual, but I can tell you they've got a tremendous team, but there's an individual that really contributes to the overall team to get these grants. We've got one of the best grant writers I think you're going to find anywhere in the country.
I let me fully acquiesce what you said. You look at today and what's in front of us, I can give you 450,000 reasons today why it's effective, and people need to understand that the grants are competitive, and number two, somebody's got to be accountable for them, and all these grants undergo compliance reviews of some sort, and obviously we're staying in compliance. We're being competitive, and I don't want to steal anybody's thunder, but I can assure you there's a lot more good news to come. So with that, I'd also like to recognize the presence of Councilman Wine. Next on the, any questions, further questions, concerns, comments on this agenda item? All right, next on the agenda is the presentation from, I'm sorry.
To go back further, Mr. Chairman, we always look in succession too. I mean, hopefully she stays with us another 25 years, but do we have, you know, and I'm not just saying apprentices, but we're big on this. Is somebody, do we have somebody else that we can hire that put that can work along with Lori to teach, I guess? I mean, it's, you know, to fruition.
Obviously, we derive as much as we can at the actual law enforcement officers that work in that unit. But Lori Kane is a unique individual. We built this person. Over the years, she became a subject matter expert in grants, not just in general, but in particular law enforcement. And I guess to Councilman Bell's point, we're the only law enforcement agency in the state of Delaware to get money from the cops office this year. So what am I saying? I think it would be very difficult to go out there and find a Lori Kane. Or I know start training one up, but that's very, very difficult to do, because that type of person makes about $100,000 a year in Washington. They go to Wood. They're not going to come here and work for...
No. I'm just looking for the future after we're mostly gone, because it takes a special person, like you said. So you really just can't jump. I don't think you can just jump somebody. And I always like teaching with him.
And we do have a succession plan in place, sir. There is a young lieutenant underneath Captain Krause in his shop that is a very up-and-coming guy who is, you know, picking up on these things. But I will say that it's going to be a tough day, if Lori says. I mean, you're talking about millions of dollars.
Exactly.
Any other questions, concerns? Okay. The next item on the agenda is a presentation on the intervention specialist, which will be given by Colonel Setting and staff. I'm going to preface this by saying I asked administration, quite frankly, I don't want to throw a stone high in my hand. I asked administration to consider this initiative. We had some lengthy discussions about it prior to the budget hearings, and to me, as somebody who used to be president of the Community Youth Workers, who was on the Wilmington Police Advisory Council for 25 years, conceptually, I know we had great success with the partnership with the Community Youth Workers at the time, who worked in partnership with Wilmington Police Department, and we served as liaisons between the police department and the community, and it was a good working relationship, and I thought it was something that we should at least try for a year, see how it works. If it doesn't bear fruit, as I am optimistic that, that it does, then we can do something else. Or if it does, we'll take the initiative and do what we can to obtain funding from other sources and enhance it and work on it. But I'll ask Chief to come forward now and give us some further details.
I think that it's no surprise to this council and to our constituents that policing in the United States is changing at a breakneck pace, and there's a trust issue. And even though I have a team of people that focus on this in regards to our community service folks, and you'll see that Captain Quentin Watson, the commander of that unit, and our special operations branch is here with me. He's going to take the floor shortly after I make these comments so that he can answer your questions in regards to this program. But even with the CSU unit, even with our community outreach that we do, even with things such as mounted patrol, detectives, and the list goes on, folks aren't talking to police. They're not telling us anything. And it's not, even though we're one of the more respected agencies, even though we have a great community relationship, even though, you know, we don't seem to have the same trust issues, we are the first agency in Delaware, that, you know, seeks first large agency in Delaware seeking cameras. We want the cameras on our officers. We believe it's a behavior modifier on both ends of the lens. We're trying to change with the culture that's changing around us. We're actually trying to get ahead of it. And this program is very basic. It's not really basic. What I'm going to say, my piece of it is, I think the concept is basic. We need people from the community that are willing to work and deal with problems and deal with, you know, the fact that folks are not communicating with us, but they're communicating with them. They know who's who. They are parts of these communities. We went through a process to figure out exactly what type of person we're looking for. We're not looking for people that want to become police officers. We're looking for people that are personally invested in their community and understand each other and have a relationship where they are able to find out things that we are simply never going to find out. We are experts in forensics. We are experts in criminal investigation. We are experts in interviewing. It's no longer the answer. These drug-on-drug shootings, and in some cases having nothing to do with drugs, just young men killing other young men. When a man walks into a community center without speaking a word, walks past a marked police car, and shoots a man dead at point-blank range. That's a very particular and disturbing message. And we don't know who did it. And yeah, we're following up all the leads, but the people that live in that community, they know exactly who did it. And this program is the great attempt at opening up a new vein of communication. And I'm convinced that we're going to end up, you're going to see papers written about this, because it is not the answer to go beating on doors and the shoe leather is going to solve these homicides. We're using shoe leather. We're out there. We've got crime down in double digits, but not homicide. Young men are killing young men, and it's happening all too often with no information. When a young man can walk outside of a dance and be gunned down, and 150 people in Brookside saw this young man die and breathe his last breath, and no one will tell us who did it. Now, if you don't think that we have to change the way you're doing business, boy, I do. We've got to figure out a way to get people talking to us again.
Chief, if I can, I want to add on to that.
Yes, sir.
Not only helping us resolve crime, but a major asset I'm hoping that they'll be in preventing crime. For
Good
example,
point,
every shooting you have, there's always a possibility of retaliation and furtherance of violence if somebody doesn't intervene. And it's my hope that the intervention specialists will be able to take the initiative to work with whoever they need to work with in the community to reduce the likelihood of there being additional problems and additional crime as a result of something like that.
It's a great point, sir. I should have mentioned our hope for this new team of community intervention specialists is that they will have intelligence that it's never going to make it to the police. They're going to know when and where shootings are going to occur. They're going to know which gangs are beefing with which gangs. Some of these young folks that we've selected for this literally came from these gangs, and people thinking, well, why are you hiring them? Because That's exactly, these are reformed individuals that are keys to the opening the communication vein to back into these groups and gangs that have refused to cooperate or speak to us.
Councilman Tang.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for the opportunity to just make a few comments. But absolutely on the heels of the presentation about these new community intervention specialists, and I just had a situation in my community or in my district where several young boys attacked a couple of young girls, and a couple of them held them, a couple of them beat them, and nobody tried to help. They all came out. They came out with their cell phones, and they wanted to videotape it so they could put it on social media. But nobody wanted to help. And I'm not just talking about kids. There were adults out there with phones videotaping it while those girls were being attacked. So we are absolutely in a very scary time now. It's a different way of policing, and I'm glad that, you know, we're moving in that direction, and thank you for your leadership.
And I can't make any guarantees, but I have a very strong suspicion, you know, that this is going to be wildly successful.
Now, Chief, I just to give you an example, among the people that have hired and they're actually starting today is, and there's some folks who were doing it when I was doing it, but they still feel physically able enough to continue. But I'm standing on the corner one day and somebody says, that kid's got a gun. And I'm ready to call the police. And one of the people who's going to be one of the intervention specialists walked over to the corner and said, give me the gun. And he got the gun. Another situation, again, somebody who's going to be one of the intervention specialists, there was a situation with the so-called Ninth Street Gang here in the city, and a gang in Sparrow Run. And one of the people that is going to be working on this single-handedly had a major discussion with the Ninth Street boys, had a major discussion with the boys in Sparrow Run, and squashed.
And shut down.
And so these are the kind of people that are still willing, able, and want to do this work. So I'm kind of excited about it. Those are just examples of what I know they had the capability to do. Director, I'm going to come back to you. Co-chairman, I didn't see you. Sorry.
Now, just real briefly, I think the one thing, sometimes it goes without saying, but it needs to be said, is that I think the leadership of our police community, our police department, our emergency services know very well that the members sitting around this room, the council, county council, and it needs to be said, and the public needs to know it, that not only suggestion-wise, but support-wise, that this council has supported our public safety department, and especially our police department, 100%. And I think that you look at the caliber of leadership and the team that we have in our public safety department, they're one of the best in this nation, if not the best in the nation. And, you know, the creativity, proactiveness, sort of experimental type thing sometimes, but whether you look at TAPS, whether you look at different technology from ground and aerial, whether you look at the creation of a fusion center, and now you're looking at this particular facet of law enforcement. So I think that the message that we need to send is that from the council standpoint, this government standpoint, that every one of us around this room understand and do as much as we can possibly do for our police department to support them, suggest things, and I don't think you're going to find many governments that have a relationship with your law enforcement and public safety as we have in Newcastle County.
Thanks. So,
tremendous leadership team, but this council understands.
And I hope, unlike other jurisdictions, I hope that reduces the likelihood of one of us getting tased.
Director. To add what Councilman Bell said, I think that council have been extremely supportive, not just of the police, but our other two divisions as well. I mean, there's not much we couldn't ask for. If there's a need, and we've experienced this time and time again over the last two or three years, if there was a need and we could justify it, we got it. So I thank you for the Department of Public Safety for all you've done to make our lives better, for us being more effective out there on the streets. I too have an example of experience with this. We did this back in the 70s and 80s, something very, very similar to this. And I remember being in detectives. I remember being called by someone about an issue between two groups. And it centered around Glasgow High School.
Yep.
So by the time I got from wherever I was coming from to that school, those people that we're referring to, these intervention work specialists, they were there. And they were able to squash that dispute just like that. And it didn't happen. Nothing more happened from that point forward with these two groups of individuals. So I know it worked. I've seen it before. When it was brought to our attention, we had all of us sit around the table and talk about it to make sure it made sense, that it was doable, and then how to go about getting to where we're at today. And we're all in agreement that it's worth doing, it's worth trying. There are too many unsolved issues out there. We simply, like the Colonel said, we have the expertise and the best folks working in our profession, but there's something else that we need. And is this it? We hope so. To solve some of these homicides, some of these violent crimes that are out in the street, primarily there are events that take place off the homes but out in the street. People talk. They're going to talk to those folks before they talk to us. That's our hope. And collectively, from public safety, we think it's going to be effective, and that we will have some good results between now and the end of this fiscal period. Thank you.
Councilor Small.
Yeah, the only thing I would like, because breaking this out tonight, voting and all, is that when the press talks to whoever, and they will, that we're very clear to them to let the public know that this is a county-wide initiative. As we've said before, crime knows no boundaries. You know, there's no specific borders. Yes, one area of the county may have a higher incident rate than another now, but those people come from other areas and interact. So I just want to make sure that we're very clear, that everyone knows this is, you can't move out, go from this community and visit this one. I think there isn't, you know, this program won't reach out and touch it, that's all.
Your point is very well taken, and I think it's extremely important that we put emphasis on that it's a countywide initiative.
And so that you do know, it is countywide. The folks that we selected are from different parts of this county, including the Pike Creek area on the west side, down south, and we left two or three spots open in the Hocus County. We left some spots, some positions open, and we're going to look for some folks to fill those slots based on where they're from. Like right now, there's no one from the Claymont area. That concerns us. So we want that open. We want to leave that spot open for now. But it is truly, it covers the entire county of Newcastle. We're not going to focus in on the city, on the west side, east. It's going to be a county-wide initiative.
Yep. Councilor Small.
Just so I can clarify, no way was I implying that it wasn't.
It's good to say.
I know it is, but I just think it's important that we get it out there, not only for those that are involved, but the people in the communities to have that comfort level that we're all together in this. That's all. So thank you very much.
If I could, just want to say, we're going to do a pastry
with public safety.
Pastry with public safety. And we're going to go out to the communities, the different parts of the community. I guess we're going to serve pastry.
See, I thought it would be produce with the public or something like that, a little healthy.
And that's one thing we're going to talk about this program. We're going to put out to these groups that we're going to meet. I think we're going to do four and one in each section of the county. and our community services officers, when they go out, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. We want the world to know that these folks are out here. Captain Watts will talk about some things that may be, but we want to make sure that they're going to be safe out there. So as of tonight, there's orientation. These individuals will be going through an orientation on how and what to do, what not to do, and along with some other things. But we're going to talk about this further because we think that it will work. We really, truly do. You can't tell me that no one knows, and I hate to say it, I don't get it right up, but no one knows who did that Rose shooting. You can't tell me that. But they're not telling us. Someone knows, and someone, we think of the folks that we brought on this team, someone's going to whisper in their ear. Years ago, when I was on the street, when Bond was on the street, people would probably whisper in your ear who did it. They don't do that anymore for a number of reasons. But we're hoping that this program creates that kind of communication where we can at least start narrowing down on who did it and kind of focusing on them and go after it.
Tell them the powers and President Bullock.
I got a question with what you just said, and with the jurisdictional, and really going into my district, because I have so much of it with the state police. You're saying it's any jurisdiction or whatever?
If there is an incident, Director Brian, if there's an incident any place, and our folks talk about it, it's not necessarily we have to investigate it, but we can turn it over to the Delaware State Police or Winter Police or whoever. But the folks that we are bringing on are known in their areas. And our belief is folks are going to come to them and whisper things in their ears that we need to know. So we're not going to be concerned about jurisdictional agreements because if someone tells us about the event and it's not in our area, we can turn it over to the appropriate agency.
I guess, and I think maybe something to say to you today, I'm having burglaries right across my house 3 times in 3 weeks in the state police jurisdiction. Somebody knows who that is. It's probably somebody local, but it's the same exact thing. And, you know, the head of house that's in the woods, clearly probably could have seen it, but 3 times, just tearing up the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting, the state police, I went the day of the first time, they never called me, until 2 weeks later, and that day got hit again, at the same exact time. I know it's not you guys, but I'm having it all through my district. If you pull up the crime reports from the county police, they're not hitting the county police jurisdiction, they're hitting the state police.
Frustrating.
I mean, and it took a while. I had to get you guys involved to get the crime reports from the state police.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Bryan, how many intervention specialists are planning on hiring?
I'm gonna let Captain Watson take the floor.
Okay. So,
Captain.
We have seven now. We have three openings.
Should it be 10? Yes. It'll be 10. I can answer any of the questions that you may have, additional questions you may have on it, but I think the Colonel and Director went into a lot, so.
Well, the only other thing I want to add is, you know, before we had this initiative, there are other entities, such as during the state basketball tournament, when there is a concern about there being potential problems between rivalry schools. Some of these people have already been utilized and served in that capacity, special events they've been called upon. And if, in fact, we have a problem with at a basketball game or an event like that, I'm certain that they will be deployed and asked to intervene and help put out a fire before it gets started.
Yeah, I mean, that's correct, sir. I mean, you know, the interventionist's job basically is to be out there and to also try to prevent things that may happen. Brewing things, neighborhood disputes, you know, you have one rival neighborhood beefing with another rival neighborhood. We're trying to get these guys in there, find out what the issues are, try to get some type of intervention work done in there. That's what we're trying to do mostly with the intervention team. Is I know that there's a segment there if they have information, but one of the things you want to do is make sure we toe the line between them not acting as agents or agents and police departments, as opposed to just getting out there and getting the people to talk. I mean, great opportunity when we have these outside crime scenes where you have shootings that happen outside, you may have a body on the ground, you may have family members coming. So it's a great time to get the interventions out there because there's a lot of emotion, a lot of raw emotions. People probably know who did it. So you want to get that. You want to get the team in there. You want to get them in the crowd. You want to get them talking to them. They're not going to interfere with the police investigation because, like I said, it's a very delicate line there. But you want them out there. You want to get them to get the pulse of what's going on out there. I mean, if there's information that comes out of it, that's great. But we don't want them out there going in people's houses and questioning them about the crime itself, because then we'll have problems with our detectives, where they're crossing over. And so, we do want them out there. If they do get information, we want to get a way that they can get that information back to the police department. You won't see the interventions out there talking to police officers at the scene, because it's very important that the people out there know that it's not a secret that they do work with the police, but we don't want them to be seen as being a part of the police department, because then if that happens, they'll shut down like they shut down with us. And so it's always a balance, and we have some mechanism in place to make sure that that doesn't happen. And it's a way that if someone comes up to you and says, I know who may have done this shooting, that the interventionist will actually get that information to a detective, but not at the scene. It would go a roundabout way to get back to them and not right directly grabbing the guy by the hand and bringing him over and showing him. And so, we're looking at going a lot of things. We're looking at going into schools. Because one of the things we have is a disconnect between the schools and our neighborhoods. If you all know the jurisdictional agreement, when the kids are on the bus, they're in the Delaware State Police's jurisdiction as they ride through our communities. We don't have anything to do with them until they put both feet on the ground in the community, and then it becomes ours. Well, a lot of times, beefs happen in schools. The disconnect is we may not know about it, but it carries over right into the neighborhoods. And next thing you know, we got an incident, and then we're trying to figure out, well, how did it all start? Well, it started in schools. And so that's been a thing for us to try to get with the SROs at Delaware State Police. If there are things happening, we need to know about it, because it can happen in the neighborhood and then carry over into the schools. And so that's the biggest frustration, the biggest disconnect we have, is trying to get that lines of communication going, where we can get in the middle of this a lot quicker and get this thing diffused. But also the interventions are also there to offer some type of resources for education. We're going to hook them up with social services, mental health. If we have some people out there that are dealing with some different things, if they can be the conduit to get these people into some type of treatment, so be it. Lastly, one of the goals is to actually try to educate the police department. There's an area we're talking about cultural diversity. There's an area of dealing with different groups of cultures out there that are, it's not embarrassing to say sometimes we're not as connected as we should be with those different entities. And so getting the interventionists to come in and talk in our academies about cultural diversity, unbiased and biased policing in a sense, and talk to us about educate as how we view by the community out there is great. You get it from the ground. The interventionists are from the community. So we do want to know how the community views us. And so that's also great. So it's a lot of different goals with the interventionists, just not one thing, but it's a whole bunch of different things.
But for the protection of them, let me break it down in case this gets printed in street terms. They ain't cops and they ain't snitches.
Right.
It's all about prevention. Mm-hmm. Okay. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are they identified to the public as intervention specialists?
Yes, they'll have an ID badge hanging on to also identify them. It would be nothing to identify them as working with the police department. We do that on purpose. Again, it's all about the credibility, and we don't want them to be viewed as working with the police, and we also want to make sure we keep close tabs on them, that they're not overreaching and they're not perpetrating themselves as police officers. So that's a very delicate balance. As we move into this, we want to continue to make sure that those lines stay real clear as we move forward with this. And tonight's going to be a good first day.
Yeah. They're operating.
And they're going to be working, here's another issue, they're going to be working at the Powell Center. They're not going to be working at our police building. Because, again, that autonomy, we need that. We need people to understand that they're not working in our police department. And so tonight we're going to have a first orientation of interventionists at the Powell Center. We're all going to come together, we're all going to meet, and we're all going to talk about a lot of different things. We're all going to lay out the training. We're also going to lay out some good lines of communication. And one of the things that I also want to stress to them tonight is, now that you're a part of the Newcastle County family, be very careful how you represent yourself to the community. Because it's no longer Joe Smith that may have done something. It's now, with the newspapers, Joe Smith community intervention for Newcastle County said this or did that or did this. So it's also very, very important that they understand that carry a lot of weight on your shoulders when you come in now with the Newcastle County family, is they pick up on that a lot more than they would if you're just a Joe Blow citizen. So.
Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. I look forward to this getting underway, and I too believe that it will meet a need that is a gap. I can tell you in the last 4 or 5 years, I've seen this tendency in the neighborhoods I represent where conflicts to mushroom and involve, an unbelievable series of folks. And, you know, it hasn't risen to the level of deadly violence, but there has been violence. And, you know, it's an awkward position as a council person because, you know, you're hearing from both sides. The police have a role, the courts have a role, but we're really not, you know, heading off or diffusing these conflicts. And, you know, I just look forward to, you know, working with a person like this because I certainly have a couple situations that are baffling to me because I'm being told different things on all different sides, and it's not my job to sort any of this out. I have no expertise or anything, but, you know, it's just very frustrating because, you know, there's a situation and it's not getting any better, and, you know, it's been bad, but we don't want it to get, you know, much worse. So it's a real, I think, need that we have.
You're exactly right, sir. I mean, you know, 28 years in law enforcement, you would believe some of the, what I would think, nitpicky things that neighbors get involved in, from you cut too much grass on my side. These are, may seem like simple things, but to people in the community, these are simmering things that it just starts to percolate, and next thing you know, you wind up arresting a lot of people for a lot of stuff that actually amounts to, really, what is it really about? But they do need to be mediated. They do need, and we do a really good job in community service with our mediation, but we can always use more help to mediate a lot of these conflicts, to simmer everything down. Everybody just needs to back up for a minute and take a breath here. What are we really arguing about in the neighborhood? And so I'm hoping that can bridge the gap also.
Councilwoman Dillard, Co-Chairman Bell, Councilman Powell.
I think Councilman Bell had his hand up before I did. So
ladies first.
Thank you. I really am looking forward to this. I think it's a great idea, and I think anything that you can give the interventionists in terms of community resources for mental health issues, I mean, I've dealt with that where, you know, the ramping up that you just described, it happens so often and so quickly when there's a mental health issue with one of the neighbors. So getting some help for that person, you know, that would be great. So any of that kind of education that you're giving them would be terrific.
And I think the more that we can expose them to the criminal justice system and mental health, we're talking about getting them involved with not only just the AG's office, some of the nonprofits. Right. We want to get them, we want to arm them with enough tools on their tool belt that when they go out here that they can actually be resources and referrals to different things that are going on. And so you have to expose them. We have to bring in mental health to talk to them about this is what you're going to see in the community. This is how you can help us. So that's all. It's going to be a learning process that we continue through this. And we're going to scrape our knees a little bit, but hopefully we're going to come out really good on the other side.
Go, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess just a question, because this kind of scratches on the surface of community dealing with these folks and talking about situations. From a governmental standpoint, elected officials, certainly we attend a lot of meetings. We have folks that will tell us about different problems. Just speaking out loud, I would think that we would probably want to funnel any concerns coming from the community back to our police department and have them disseminate it, yes, so that we're not visualized as dealing directly with folks and causing more problems than get where I'm going?
Yes, sir. That's the ideal situation. You want it to be that way. We have to be involved in it. And we have, because we're actually also kind of overseeing the intervention, so we're not letting them really run too far off without us being there to say, hey, you're drifting a little bit, you might need to come back over here. So, you know, direct lines of communication is also key in this whole endeavor. So we hopefully, like I said, this is going to be a growing thing, so I anticipate us tripping over ourselves a little bit until we get it straight as to what we want to do, but communication is key. We have to communicate because, you know, that's the only way we're going to be able to push this forward.
Councilman Parrott.
Just what you said a few things, and we were just trying to figure out, where are they coming from? Because you said it was separate from the police, but is it police that are going to be doing it, or are we getting somebody from somewhere else? I don't know.
Well, it's
because of what you said, I got a question.
Yeah, the interventions are coming from the community itself, but also the fact of the matter is we want to make sure that the community understands that they're not being solely controlled by the police and used as agents for information in one sense of the term, that we do want them to be in the community. We want them to show empathy and sympathy in the community and also try to gauge what is going on in the community. And so, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so is this people we're hiring, or where are they coming from?
Yeah, they're being hired. They're being hired.
We just
want
to make sure.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions, concerns, comments from members of council? I'm going to close with these discussions were underway, and some of the people that have been hired have been active in the community for a long time. The day of the shooting in Rose Hill, when I got there, two of them were already there. They got some information that I still think may end up being helpful. I think if we had the program in place and there was a working relationship between the police and them, they could have been more helpful. Last week, over the last 2 weeks, when we've had some struggles and difficulties in the city, two of them have been volunteering their time to help keep peace within the city. And with some of them, experience counts, all the way back to being helpful in the school desegregation process, going through some of the training that was provided at that time by the Department of Justice and the U.S. Marshals. And so my hope is that the experience will count, but we've also hired some young people who can be trained and take on this work. And finally, it sounds great, and it's going to be wonderful, but we're talking about no more than two full-time people, the rest of them are part-time. It's only $250,000, and it's a pilot project. And if we're able to show success with this first $250,000, and hopefully that will enable us to leverage funding from other sources. Councilman.
Thank you. In some interventions within my district, I have used the community service officer. I'm going to presume that they will still have a role in all of this also?
The program, as far as the chain of command, actually comes under the community services unit. Sergeant Wes Reynolds will be actually the supervisors over the intervention. So we molded it right in there because, again, you can't operate outside of the community services unit because then you'll have people going in all different directions, no one knowing who's doing what. So we actually shaped it and molded it in. It runs right up, straight up.
Good. Thank you.
Anything else on this item? Thank you all very much. Have anything under the wonderful subject of other? Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I have two things. One of them, we have some officers here, the chief here, we read obviously an op-ed this morning from Thomas Neuberger about drones and what our police department is going to use and not use on their drones.
Yes.
And I know that we have talked about this previously back probably in May. We knew that the FAA was coming in with some of their recommendations in June. And I know that you guys had said that you were working on regulations. I don't know that we, unless I missed it, I don't know that we have had a presentation on where you are on that, other than
I think we probably should schedule one as we get closer to actually operating a drone. Just want to reiterate, we haven't done that yet, and we brought Mr. Neuberger in and literally worked with him on our policy because he is a leading attorney in this particular area, and we're just trying to show, again, you know, the transparency. But this could be a life-saving piece of equipment. This could be a vital piece of equipment. We're not interested in putting any type of weaponry or anything else on it. This is just going to be a matter of, you know, just a fast example. You know, you have a situation at the Christiana Mall. You want to fly over it and send the signal back into the fusion center and make a decision what resources you're going to send and the right resources, or you can go back to the old way where the bell rings, nobody knows what it is, and everyone runs. Fire, police, ambulance, you know, it's in a big mess. And but you know, with a piece of equipment like this, you could indicate this is a fire, you know, we have an automobile accident, you know, so forth and so on. And it'll be a good briefing when we're ready, Councilwoman, but I mean, unless you have a specific question, we're not quite there yet. We still haven't flown anything. I promise.
And I don't necessarily have a specific question, but you know, once these things show up in the paper, then we start getting questions when we go to civic meetings. So I think that we probably need.
We're going to make sure you're well equipped.
Know where you guys are.
If we could get that on the agenda, sir, next meeting. Was the next meeting suit everyone?
That's fine.
Pat?
Yep.
Okay, we'll be ready for the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you. And my second one, I just want to tell you all that probably at the next meeting, we will be bringing forth a resolution that's going to be asking for the support of council in supporting a consortium of three counties, three chiefs of the paramedics. We talked about this at the Delaware Association of Counties meetings the other night. Larry was there along with the other two chiefs, Kent and Sussex, and we had a decent discussion, a long discussion actually, on how we would like to proceed through what process. We know that the paramedic reimbursement has been cut through epilogue language. We know that it's been a decreasing reimbursement over the years. We're not sure that there is a tremendous understanding within the General Assembly as to how this is constantly decreasing. And certainly they're not understanding the dynamics that go into the budget that is passed on July 1st, the budget that paramedics have to give in September for the decision to be made by the General Assembly, and how that all folds in together in the decision that they're making as to what percentage we get and or are they cutting more besides the percentage that is decreasing. So Chief is working with me on a resolution. We decided at that meeting that it would have a little more force if we knew that the administration of each county and the council or levy court of each county gave it their full support. So we will be formally doing that at the next council meeting. And we will put it on either executive or public safety committee meeting to have the discussion prior to.
Well, I think that's excellent, and I hope we can work with everybody to make the people who have the resources understand the importance of other resources, because it's exasperating me when you look at the news reports that we receive from the police department, look at the paper, the number of shootings every day, number of accidents, and our paramedics, all of them now, having to wear bulletproof vests. Crimes going up, what they have to do in terms of responding, there's increases in services, and there's increase in calls. And for anybody to have an expectation that all that can be borne by county alone, in my opinion, just unrealistic and taxing outward.
Well, and part of the discussion was that we are an aging state. We are getting a lot of retirees moving in.
Well,
that's
going
up. Chris, I'm including myself. So, but that alone, if the funding stays static, that alone is increasing the amount of calls that we have. So we are already losing on that base, on top of the crime that you talked about. But those are the things that the three chiefs are going to get a meeting, starting with the governor's office. We then have sort of a protocol that we've looked at to move down, remove the General Assembly, and do we need to do a public education on this so that the public understands what this is going to mean to them. That if you cut the cost on the state level, you are only going to have to pick it up on the county level. And at the increase that we are probably looking at, we very likely could be looking at coming up with tax increase, a property tax increase, because we as a county cannot continue to just absorb this extra amount through our revenues, our surplus revenues.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so everyone's aware, for our next council meeting, our next public safety committee meeting, so far we have our volunteer fire, rescue and emergency medical services, our county services, will begin to give council a briefing, kind of a status report as over the past year or so, you know, what's occurring in the county as far as fire, rescue and emergency medical, the services, deployment, different type of calls and things that they've handled. And I think it'll be very fitting if we have, you know, the presentation on the deployment of a drone, because that kind of fits. And then also with Councilwoman's leadership for the paramedic consortium, kind of all fits together. So that's what we have. We did put off the paramedic station presentation this meeting because of the criticality and importance of the police presentation today. So we may very well be into our December meeting, you know, for the paramedic station presentation. And, you know, I think that the key to it is to have that presentation before the station is actually goes under construction and everything. So, thank you.
Any other questions, concerns? Any other comments? Anything else on the up? Councilman Smile.
Motion adjourned.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sure. I like that video. Thank you. Our young days, right? Oh, I'm sorry, sir.